Well, welcome everybody. Happy Friday, as always. Lots of things to talk about, and Byron McCurdy is joining us again. I always loved when Byron is here. He's the best storyteller and scares us all to death. So welcome, Byron.
Thank you.
We're going to get to that in just a minute, so stay with us. We got a couple of cyber bites, and I guess they're almost business bites as well, but I'm sure you've heard in the media, Oklahoma has exposed thousands, actually tens of thousands of legal records. So if you've had any dealings in Oklahoma recently, you want to check on that and follow that up. This was in investigative reports, other sensitive material, legal documents, court documents that had not been released yet to public. That's a big one. Also, you'll hear about collection number one. This is the largest data breach to date. We're not having a contest here. We can stop this anytime. 772 million email accounts and 21 million passwords were basically collected out on the dark web, as you hear us talk about. This was a number of data breaches, but somebody aggregated all this data and then has been selling it. So, again, watch your email. Keep track. You know, I harp on this all the time. Everybody's probably sick and tired of listening about it, but do you want to keep track of bank accounts and things like that? Just stay on top of it. Also, the Weather Channel lawsuit and AT&T. There's a lawsuit starting with AT&T and some of the other cellular providers about selling location data. And Byron and I were talking in the prep meeting. Well, it's not just them. It's all the social media, all your iPhone apps. They're all selling it. And we've happily put all this information out there, so you don't need a chip buried in our arm. We carry the smartphone around, and it does it for free. Byron's laughing. He goes, yeah, that just adds to my HR stories, doesn't it?
It's a good way to track them.
Yeah, it's a good way to track them. So never-ending discussion about that. But let's kind of dig into how this rolls into HR. Byron was with us, it's been a couple of weeks ago, and talking about some of the things in 19 we had to cut short with everything else that was going on. And I've gotten a lot of pings about when is Byron coming back on and telling us about what we should be doing in 19 and some of these stories. Well, first off, Byron, welcome. We appreciate you always having you on the show with Benefit Solutions. Welcome and happy Friday.
Thank you, Jeff. It's good to be here.
And I asked him, I said, can you bring a couple of talking points and what's going on? And he's got two pages of stuff in front of me right now. It's like, yeah, we may want to negotiate for some more time today. But what should businesses, you know, what are the hot topics coming into 19 that people and company owners need to be paying attention to? And then you've got some notes we're going to talk about.
Yeah, well, I think that there's some, you know, some IRS changes that have occurred that we should be aware of. The IRS has been, of course, they're changing the withholding tables with the new tax rates. They've been talking for months about a draft W-4 that's supposed to be revised down to 2 pages from 4 pages, including the instructions. And that still hasn't been finalized. So we're
still on the old one.
Still on the old ones, yeah, and the old format. Although the draft that I saw, I couldn't find any differences, so I don't know what that's
got
all about.
Two pages of instructions. Well, that's always an improvement.
Yeah. You're on your own.
You're on your own.
We've been told, of course, the Social Security cap, maximum earning cap, increases from $128,400 to $132,900, the IRS has changed some rules on the form 5500, which is the tax form that you file if you have a 401k plan or other type of pension. They've increased some penalties on the per day missed filing fee, and there are some additional penalties for incorrect filings if your tax returns are wrong.
Oh, so don't make a mistake, because now you're going to pay for it.
Yeah, or hire somebody who knows what they're doing, I guess.
Hopefully knows what they're doing.
Salary budgets are estimated to go up by 3.2% in 2019. So, you know, the shortage of workers is continuing to drive salaries up. And I think that will continue throughout the year, although we're anticipating that as the economy begins to cool off a bit, that that the hiring will slow down a bit.
That brings up a good question. Where do you see hiring right now? You know, your firm has a good handle on hiring, and is it starting to slow down? Is there still a hot market? Where does that sit?
It's not slowing down yet.
Okay.
And it may be the latter part of 2019 before it begins to slow down. You know, we watch the unemployment numbers and you know, the new job numbers every month to try to monitor for our clients' behalf, you know, how to deal with those things. But history tells us that the market will start to soften for employees. And right now, it's just tough to find particularly entry-level workers. And so that's why one of my notes here is we are seeing some reactions to that. More employers, for example, are hiring ex-cons or people who've been in prison.
I've heard that. Yeah,
and so they're just you know, trying to place them in positions where they feel comfortable with them, and in many ways that's a good thing.
And it's a good thing. Yeah, it gives them a chance to restart.
Yeah,
I like that.
I've done some voluntary work down at the prison in Canyon City, and you do start to feel for those folks down there. It's a tough life.
Oh, I can only imagine. Well, I don't want to imagine. Yeah. How's that?
And most want to do the right thing.
Yeah.
But that has led actually to a relaxation of some of the drug testing policies. So whereas we've seen, I think, a movement in the past few years to have more drug testing, at this point we're now seeing that change to where there's a lot of people having exceptions to that. Where they'll do background checks so that they go in with their eyes open with a new employee, but they're hesitant to drug test. And, of course, part of that's a reflection of the marijuana laws
right.
In Colorado because it's hard to find workers.
That's amazing. Well, stay with us. We're going to be right back and dig into this a little deeper and get into some of Byron's great stories. But you're listening to the Business Week in Review. It is 9:16 on Friday morning. We will be right back. Well, welcome back, everybody. Thanks for joining us on a decent Friday out there. I'm going to get out and get some hiking in over the weekend. But before we went to the break, we were talking about employees, relaxation of some of the hiring that's going on. And Byron McCurdy of Benefit Solutions is with us this morning. And now you're getting some interesting demands of people as well. Byron, talk about that. And this is, we're getting into storytelling now.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, we had a situation this week where one of our clients called and they have an employee who's demanding to telecommute. They're not really asking very politely in this particular situation, but they're pretty much demanding that if they're going to stay working for them, they're going to do it from home, which most of our clients try to accommodate whenever they can. But it's I've found it interesting that they kind of demand to telecommute from home now. And it's becoming almost an expectation, and they have some leverage to do it.
Well, especially in this job market, that's really interesting. And all sorts of interesting demands starting to come along.
Yeah. In fact, we just had a dog come in from another show, wandered through, which brings up another point.
Yes, it does.
We are seeing companies that are starting to offer paid time off and paid leave for pet care and for bereavement issues, pet bereavement.
Interesting.
Which is a new thing. That's something we have never seen before.
What does an employer do? Well, they call you, of course, but you know, how do you deal with that?
Well, we have to look at the finances, you know, to see if it's feasible financially. One of the issues that we have heard, we had a client who allowed dogs in the workplace and animals.
And we see that a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. The problem that you can run into is people who have allergies to pet hair. And so then you have, you know, you have conflicting interests from the employees, and of course that leads to conflict.
And conflict, yes. And what was Robin's term? What did she call it? some sort of conflict in the worst, hostile work environment.
Hostile
That's what it was.
Hostile work environment. Yeah. We hear that a lot. It's funny bringing that up. That reminds me of
another story.
Yeah, we are seeing a lot of employees alleging hostile work environment, or saying, you know, I'm being bullied by the boss. And when we research it, a lot of times it's just the boss asking him to do a task.
And that's interesting.
I had an employee that I'd had at a client's location. I'd ask her to redo a spreadsheet, and she quit and alleged that I'd been hostile towards her. And I honestly, I'm a pretty nice guy. She didn't want to. She just wasn't willing to take criticism, and she blew it into hostile work environment situation, claiming, well, you know, this is uncomfortable, but that doesn't rise to the level of being a hostile work environment.
What does an employer do when, I mean, it's almost like everybody's walking on eggshells these days.
Well, you have to document. You have to get into the facts.
Okay, so there's the takeaway is document.
Yep. You have to sit down in a kind way, get into the facts of what actually happened, because bullying does occur in the workplace, and we see hostile work environments.
Well, that leaves your story that you were telling in the prep meeting about an employee thumbing through W-2s.
Yeah, we had an employee just this week who had seen a package of W-2s came in, and he had opened them, taken his W-2 out, but there were open W-2s in the package. So he thumbed through and looked at what everybody made. And so we went up. I went up to talk to him, and we were going to write him up, and he was, you know, have a good discussion with him.
He was on thin ice, as I say.
Yeah, he's a medical assistant. Turns out that he'd been instructed to do it by another medical assistant whom he was shadowing that day. And so he was doing whatever she told him to do. So she got written up instead of him.
So it wasn't him. It was the...
Yeah, it was.
That's crazy.
You just have to get into the details, sit down and listen carefully and document. I take my laptop everywhere. When a client calls me, I turn to my computer if I'm in the office, or pull up my laptop and start typing, just because you have to have it written down. And I push for dates, times, places, exactly what was said, where it was said, you know, or what was done specifically, were there witnesses. We've got a whole investigative process that we use when there's a serious situation.
Can you record those discussions? How does that fit in, or is it a type thing? You know, because everybody has a voice recorder on their smartphones these days, or computers. Is that something that you can do?
You can. In Colorado, I believe you only need one party to approve of that, but I've seen it come back and bite people in hearing issues, or even in a legal situation. So we don't recommend it.
So there's another takeaway, yeah.
Yeah, we don't recommend that you record things, but we do recommend strongly that you document, get it written down on paper, get it into a Word document or whatever, and make sure you got facts.
So do you have those people then sign those documents, or how does that work?
We try to. Mm-hmm. We'll ask them. Most of the time, I'd say half the time, they refuse, which is fine. You know, then we just document that. But
yeah, you write that down as well.
Yeah, yeah. But we're always looking for people who've witnessed things. You know, you want, you know, somebody to corroborate a particular situation.
Oh yeah, and that is a great segue, Byron, because as we get into this, you know, when you have witnesses and who's doing what, it kind of gets into this discussion about the work environment and, as you called it, the backlash of Me Too, where that's coming along. But we're going to take a short break and come back with Byron McCurdy of Benefit Solutions. It's 9:27 on Friday morning. You're listening to The Extra Business Week in Review. We will be right back. Well, welcome back, everybody. Hope your Friday's off to a good start. We've got Byron McCurdy in the studio with us with benefit solutions. And continuing this discussion about HR, because that is a huge thing in any business. Before the break, we were talking about some of the challenges with hiring people and then what they're demanding these days, because it is a tight market. But then you mentioned in the break as well, you're starting to see some violence and how do you document things? There's a lot around that.
Yeah, we had an interesting story last week. One of our clients does training with their employees on how to be friendly, how to look people in the eye and say hello. Fairly basic stuff.
You would think you wouldn't need a training course on that, but what do I know?
Well, we try to help, But we had an employee who was just talking to an employee in a different department and said hello to her, and she didn't respond. So she got in her face and started yelling at her to be friendly.
Yelling to be friendly.
Yeah. That kind of made me chuckle.
Well, yeah. And then you have to document that too, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, we preach documenting, just document everything. And we are seeing a little bit of a change in the adjudication of unemployment claims. It is becoming more difficult for employers to win those claims right now. And so documenting is even more important than ever.
What's driving the win-loss factor? You have any insight there?
I have opinions.
that we can't talk about on the air?
It's political.
Yeah.
It's political, and the adjudicators will be what we consider to be fair to employers, but then they'll start to seemingly give unemployment to everyone, even people who quit. So we have to be very careful. Years ago, probably 8 years ago, we had we were not winning any, and so we put together a binder of unemployment claims and took it to one of the local legislators, who got us a meeting with the Department of Labor through the legislative liaison, and things changed. At least for us, the adjudicators were kinder and they were more fair, in my opinion, and so I think businesses have a way of we've got good representatives who will help the local businesses on that.
But again, it goes back to documentation.
Yes.
And you mentioned violence in there as well.
Yeah, we are seeing increased conflict and violence in the workplace, and I attribute that largely to social media, and the fact that it's removed people's inhibitions. They'll say things to each other. Even they're used to saying things in social media when nobody's watching them and they're sitting at home, just playing on their cell phones, where no one can respond. But those habits carry over into the workplace. So we do see employees saying things that 5 years ago or 10 years ago they never would have said to another employee.
And then they don't take ownership for it.
Correct. Or they lie about it. I didn't say that. there were three people who witnessed it, so yeah, you did.
So document it.
Yep, document it. Look for witnesses. During the election, I think I mentioned this a few weeks ago just briefly, there was a lot of incivility during the election. And we're seeing a little bit more even now as the political parties become more and more separated and unwilling to compromise. People's opinions become stronger, and they are more open to expressing it.
And it comes into the workplace then.
Comes into the workplace, which is inappropriate. We try to shut that down wherever we can, particularly when it becomes uncivil and the discussions become too heated. We tell our people, just don't talk about politics. Leave it out of the workplace.
And that's good counsel there, because it is so divisive these days. It doesn't take much to get an argument started about politics.
No, doesn't take much at all.
You look at somebody wrong, or you have a wrong piece of clothing on.
Yes.
You don't even have to say anything.
Yeah, I was going to mention that red tie that you're wearing, Jeff.
Well, yeah, it's really interesting. But and then it goes into, you mentioned in the prep, where it's carried into this Me Too you referred to it as backlash.
Yeah, I've been following some SHRM studies, Society for Human Resource Management, indicating that there's some unintended backlash coming from the Me Too movement, which we are seeing in the workplace. That there are just a lot of behaviors, of course, are changing for the better. We're seeing more sexual harassment training and diversity training. I just did one Wednesday night for a large group in Denver, about 150 people. This business does it every year. And we go in and show videos and have discussions, not videos, I guess they're DVDs now. So I just aged myself there. we recommend that in every business, no matter what your size, is that you do sexual harassment and diversity training every year, once a year.
That's a must, right along with, you know, the email training and some cyber. That's almost a three-legged stool model of training for diversity and harassment. Because it can get out of hand in a hurry.
It can, and just even, you know, an off-the-cuff remark can be taken offensively anymore. Those are difficult determinations to make for an employer who might be finding themselves in the middle of a discussion, making judgments about, you know, was that comment appropriate? Was it inappropriate? Is the employee being too sensitive? You know, are they being bullied? Are they being, you know, harassed? And so those are really the most difficult cases we deal with. Are trying to make fair judgments in very difficult situations.
Is that part of the training, Byron? As how you judge that? And that's tough. You
know, that's 35 years of experience.
Oh, 35 years. Okay, call Byron. call Byron.
I've seen so much, but I never say I've seen it all, because something will happen this afternoon that'll surprise me.
The one about screaming in your face to be nice, that one, that's a new one.
Yeah. That one was an interesting one. Forced friendliness.
Forced friendly, yeah. You know, what's that old saying? Mm-hmm. The beatings will continue until the morale improves.
That's,
yeah,
right.
That's a new version of that.
Kind of. Employ to employ. But it is, back to one thing I mentioned earlier, it is becoming, or there is a backlash from the Me Too movement, which was totally unanticipated in the HR field. We're seeing it become more difficult for women to be hired into a male environment,
which is just the opposite of what, you know, they wanted to have happen, and now you got this unintended consequence.
Yeah, because some employers are afraid of diversity. It's not the right way to deal with it.
No, not at all.
We're also seeing a lot of employers, most of our clients now, are restricting travel where a woman's in the car with a man or vice versa, or, you know, there's a mixture there. But they're restricting it and saying that that's not allowed. You can't travel on trips together.
And that's amazing, because you want a good team. I mean, everybody has skills coming into the, you know, a team setting or projects. To now restrict that, it hurts business.
Yeah. Yeah, it does, and it creates an uncomfortable environment. There's an unwillingness now for some bosses to meet with someone of the opposite sex privately because of potential allegations. We're seeing in some businesses gender segregation, where you know, they're putting the men in one side of the room and the women on the other, or in separate offices in different parts of the building.
Amazing.
Yeah, it's something I didn't anticipate.
Well, let's come back and talk about that a little more in depth, because that really fouls up an employer setting. But we're going to go to a quick break. Stay with us. You're listening to the Business Week in Review on KRDO News Radio. We'll be right back. Well, welcome back, everybody. It's been an interesting discussion about the HR issues in 2019. And before the break, Byron was talking with us about some of the backlash of Me Too in hiring practices and things like that. I don't want to distract you from that. Finish that up. But then there's a question in there. How does this impact holiday parties, general company, you know, social events? This just gets more and more interesting.
Oh, it gets sticky. It gets sticky. The Sherm study I quoted talks about hostile opposing camps.
Hostile opposing, and that's in the workplace.
That's in the workplace, and they're seeing so much of it. And we're seeing it a bit. But you mentioned company parties. We had I had a couple of clients who I was asked to address their management team at early December in preparation for the company parties. And I went through a list of items, you know, to watch out for, make sure, you know, you watch if people are drinking too much, make sure they get a ride home. Make sure that, you know, if someone's sexually harassing another employee, we're watching for that. And I even recommended that the companies not pay for the alcohol, but that they can have it available, but have the employees buy it.
Does that really separate things?
It helps.
It helps. Okay.
It helps. You have an employee, you know, run somebody over on the way home from a party, the company's probably going to get brought in, no matter what the situation. But if you can at least have that defense of saying, you know, well, we didn't buy the booze, they bought it. But the thing that surprised me with both clients was the backlash that I got from managers who felt like I was spoiling their party.
It's like, folks, we're trying to save you some money here.
Yeah, I wasn't very popular with a couple of large businesses, but you know, I got pretty thick skin after all this time.
Well, yeah, I would imagine.
But it, you know, they, you know, they were saying, "You mean old guy, you're going to take away our holiday our fun and our holiday parties and our time to socialize." But we just see so much offsite sexual harassment.
Because as I say, the shields are down, so to speak. You're not at the office anymore. Everybody's having a good time drinking.
Yeah.
Yeah, things could get interesting.
And even socializing anytime throughout the year, you know, if people meet for drinks after work, that can get out of hand. And people can allege sexual harassment. And so it's something that business owners need to be cognizant of and alert.
Well, and it continues to fuel, as you said, these hostile camps.
Yes.
In the workplace. So it's fed several different ways. And my question is, what can they do? What's some takeaways there?
Well, team building exercises help. There's some really good team building things that a business can do. I think training is really consistent. We offer online training programs for sexual harassment and different kinds of hostile work environment things and all just about everything you could think of, from, you know, having being able to type a nice email, you know, that doesn't have capital letters, to you know, just inappropriate behavior. So I think training is the answer. Training and employee engagement. Talk to your employees. We've been doing a lot of employee surveys, and there's really some pretty scientific ways of measuring employee engagement.
That's a very good point, Byron, is you go out, we always used to say MBWA, management by wandering around.
Yeah.
Go out and talk to your people. Make sure you know the temperature of what's going on.
Yeah. We call that rounding. It's like you're in the hospital. You just do your rounds.
Do your
rounds and talk to people.
That's a good new
term.
It
is important. It is important. It really helps you engage with the staff. And when they see you there with them, they feel like you're more of an equal. And that's an effective way of really monitoring what's going on.
Yeah, because if you get people wound up, they're very open these days, and they should be able to tell you real quick.
Yeah.
Well, as we start to wrap up, any other pearls of wisdom? Give us your contact information when we get the, you know, this. I wouldn't want to be in the middle of these hostile work situations. You're the master of that one.
Yeah, I've got
mediating it.
Yeah, I've got seven characteristics that I've come up with. We can talk about that in our next show.
Yeah, we're going to reschedule that. That's a must.
One of them is just be kind. And teach kindness. It's just basic human goodness.
So very good
that's
point.
That's my pearl of the day.
That's your pearl of your day? That's a good pearl. So how do we get a hold of you?
www.centurysolutions.org is our website. You can reach me through that and by calling Benefit Solutions at 719-393-2755. We're delighted to talk to new clients. We're growing rapidly, but our team is really, we've doubled in size in the last year. So,
well, considering all of the things you have to put up with in the workplace, I can see where you need, these are like ringmasters now and dealing with some of this stuff.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
just amazing. Well, we're going to thank Byron for being here. We're going to have him on again soon. We talk about these seven traits and continue some of the personnel discussion. But you've been listening to the Business Week in Review on KRDO News Radio. Send us notes on the main website at businessweekinreview.com. Questions, we can pass those along to Byron as well. But I hope everybody has a great weekend. Tom Martino is up next, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Thank you, Jeff.